this earth, as we live, as we talk, as we pray, as we seek your face, that the kingdom of God will function here on this earth as you desire. And Lord, I'm thankful that we get to be a part. We get to be a part of that as we come and walk with you and are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus and the word of God. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this time that we spend together. And may it continue to be an inspiration, not only to our lives, but to those that live around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Today, I'd like to talk to you about being sanctified. If you want to know what sanctified means, it means that it's set apart or holy. That's what sanctified means. So that means that if my cell phone was sanctified, it's set apart for specific reasons, for specific use, and it's not misused. Boy, is that important for us to catch. That if you're going to be sanctified for God's purpose, you're not to misuse it. Because you're set apart for His purpose, not yours. Not mine. And boy, to be sanctified is a powerful thing that God does. It's something that happens instantaneously when we come to know Him as Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior. And instantaneously, our spirit man is renewed, it's refreshed, it's revived, it comes alive because it was dead. My spirit was dead because I did not know life and life abundantly, Jesus Christ. So therefore, when I invite Jesus Christ into my life, He becomes the Savior of my life, then I'm instantly spiritually sanctified. But I got a lot of work on my flesh. I am not instantly sanctified in my flesh. My mind, my words, all of that has to come under a sanctifying process of installing in us everything that God's word says, so that what gets in us comes out of us when we speak, when we do things, when we think, and when we talk. It's very important that we allow ourselves to be sanctified for God's purpose, which should hinder us from being very careful of the things that we say and do to other people, whether they're believers or not. Because as Christians, if we treat people with rottenness, why would they want to join God's army? No better than what they're doing. If you think about it, if we're going to act like the world and treating people as the world treats them, then why would they want to be a part of the kingdom of God? And by the way, the kingdom of God is something that we pray that comes down and manifests here while we're living. That's not talking about heaven. God doesn't need the kingdom of God in heaven. He needs His kingdom to come down to this earth. And how's that going to happen? It's going to happen as we manifest God's presence, God's word, in doing what Jesus was doing when He walked the earth. And we begin to walk faithfully with Him and do exactly what He desires and He wants. That's when the kingdom of God begins to come down and manifest here on this earth. And that's exactly what we see happening here. If you look at this very verse that we read, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? You shouldn't be surprised if you don't walk with God that God won't hear your prayers. Why should He? You're not going to follow Him. You're not going to obey Him. You're not going to listen to Him anyway, so why should He listen to you? He has no legal right. You have no covenant with God where you've made Him Lord, Master, and King. And so why should He listen to you when you pray? If you're not going to walk with Him, if you're not going to talk with Him, if you're not going to follow Him, if you're not going to let Him do what He wants in His temple, in His tabernacle, then pretty good chance your prayer life could be real frustrating. Outside of a rare chance when sometimes you really beg God and all of a sudden He says, because I love you too much, I want you to see how good I am. There's occasions when God does that. But don't rely on those occasions as your relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Boy, isn't that important. Don't be tricked. Don't be led astray. Because these are the people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not know Christ here, therefore they will not go to heaven. Watch. Neither the sexual immoral. Anything outside of marriage is sexual immoral. Between a husband and a wife, that is. Nor idolaters, when you make something way more important than God. If you look through the Old Testament, you'll see how they would, the Israelites even made an idol out of their jewelry. And they said, this is the God that delivered us from Egypt. Where do they get that thinking? If you think about that, wow, that doesn't make any sense. But we do the same thing. When we pray and God doesn't answer, what do? We go to this, or we go to that, or we go to this, or we go to that. And you can name all kinds of habits that we establish inside of us because when we prayed, God didn't answer. But God didn't hear you anyway because you're not going to live for him anyway. All you want to do is get a get-out-of-jail-free card. And God wants more than that. When he came to build a relationship with the body of Christ, he didn't want to be your crisis God. He wanted to be the God that walks with you and talks with you and lives every day with you and every moment of you, and that you realize that you and I are absolutely incapable of leading our life in any sort or any fashion that's pleasing to him. So therefore, we call upon his name and we want to know everything that's important to him because he's the one that leads us and guides us. So we have to get this picture in our mind and in our world today. There's a whole bunch of this that everybody's saying is just perfectly fine, but according to God's word, it's not right. He says, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Adultery is sex outside of marriage. If you're not married, it's not adultery. It's called fornication. If you have sex before marriage, that's called fornication. It's just as much a sin as it is during your marriage if you do it with someone else other than who you're married with. If you have sexual relations with another person, that's what adultery is. Nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. Boy, isn't that kind of clear? I don't know how much clearer it could get, but you know how our world is. You know, God loves everybody. He sure does. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. He loves me enough to tell me the truth that I'm nothing but a rotten sinner outside of Christ and that some of my behavior is not acceptable to him. Notice who else is in this list. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if I'm in that list, there's no possible way I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get recovered. There's no way I'll be able to see God manifest the miraculous power or the miraculous work inside of me that causes me to live and talk and breathe like Jesus did. It's not going to happen. Most of all, anything I offer God in those conditions is not acceptable. I've been reading through the book of Ezekiel this last week. And in reading through the book of Ezekiel, one of God's complaints against the Israelites and the priests of that day is that they were doing things. Now, they were priests, mind you. These weren't just the average Joe people. They were priests. And what they were offering and what they were doing, God says, it's not acceptable to me. It's not pleasing to me. So if it's not pleasing to them, then what makes you think it's okay for us? God isn't interested in what we offer him from our own life. He's only interested in our lives being offered to him as a sacrifice where everything we do and everything we live by is sanctified, it's holy, it's set apart for his purpose, for his reasoning, for his ways, his line of work. Whatever he created you and I to do, we begin to set ourselves apart that if it's a teacher, you teach. If it's a goose farmer, it's goose farming. I don't know how to say it. If it's a trucker, it's a trucker. If it's a hunting guide, it's a hunting guide. All those are part of what God wants. But in the midst of all of that, if I take it and put it in my hands and only do what I like to do with it, then it's not going to be pleasing to God. But if I offer it up to him and say, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, help me to know what you want me to do with this so that it's pleasing in your sight. That way we become sanctified. We become set apart. We're made holy for the work that God has. Then he says, and that, verse 11, and that is what some of you were. The kingdom of God is coming down to manifest here on this earth because we used to be that way, but now because we're following Jesus Christ, we get to watch the kingdom of God manifest on this earth just like Jesus did when he was living, just like what he was doing. And so we want to manifest those things, and we become holy. We're made holy to bring to a place of holiness. Now, let me just say this. As God is sanctifying you, you don't have to advertise. If God is working things out of you, just let your light shine. You don't have to worry about telling people, well, you know, I'm holy. And they're going to go, uh-huh. Right. You don't ever have to advertise. You don't have to tell anybody because they're going to see it in your actions. They're going to see it in your words. They're going to see it in how you do things. Why? Because you're exemplifying a whole different person inside of you that God made righteous in spirit form, but in physical form, you have to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to continue to manifest God's presence in your life. And I'll tell you this, the longer I walk with God, the more little insecurities or little things that begin to show up because of the presence of God brings those things to light so then I can deal with them and get rid of them so that I don't have to have them hinder me from doing what God asked me to do. Many times why we don't obey God is because we got things standing in the way. And God isn't interested in those little things in life standing in the way when they can become big things. But that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just put it this way. Have you ever been outside working in the summer and kind of gotten all dirty? Yeah, we've all kind of been there. It would be like going in, taking a shower, and then putting back on those clothes you just took off. That stunk, were dirty, probably stained, and all that. You see, when God sanctifies us, he doesn't sanctify us so we can go back and play in the pig pen. We can go back and do whatever we were doing. God sanctifies me to set me apart for a different purpose than what I came from. Because isn't it interesting he said that? And that is what some of you were. He didn't say they were still the same thing. So the thing is, when we come to know Jesus Christ, there should begin this steps of changes that begin to happen in my life that become very obvious to others that I'm being sanctified by the presence of God. And pretty soon somebody's going to notice some things that, hey, how come you don't go that place anymore? How come you don't talk like you used to? How come you don't laugh at jokes like you used to? Or whatever the case might be, you can go right on down the line. And they begin to see these changes in you. And why is that? It's because of the sanctifying work that God does when he comes in to be your Savior. And then when you allow him to be your Savior, he wants to be your Lord, Master, and King, where he leads you and guides you. And then when he wants to be your Lord, Master, and King, then you begin to let him mold you and shape you for the purpose of what you are. So God's a great tool master. He's a great tool master because how he's going to shape Brendan is going to be different than how he shapes Brad. And how he shapes Brad is going to be different than he shapes Christy. Aren't you glad of that, Christy? You got more hair. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is that God has a distinguishing work for all of us, and we have to allow him to manifest that in us. But I'll tell you what, if I brought in an ice cube hanging off the roof this morning, is that ice cube moldable and shapeable? No. Not until it comes under the heat of God's presence, where it can be melted, it can be molded and shaped into another image. And that's exactly what God wants to do. If I was okay in my way of living before I met Christ and I didn't need to be changed, then there would be no reason for the Lord to shape me and mold me. But the reality is that in the process of what I was doing in my own sinful state, I was not pleasing to God. And therefore, the way I was living was not pleasing to God. The way I was thinking was not pleasing to God. The way I was acting is not pleasing to God. Therefore, when God comes into me, he wants to begin to shape me from the inside out. Then all of a sudden, the things I used to want to do, all of a sudden, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to know what God says. I want to know what God thinks. I want to understand what purpose I have in this world. Therefore, I surrender myself to be shaped and molded like the potter does in the wheel in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah was observing a potter, and the Lord told him to watch him because he wanted to tell the nation of Israel. He wanted to tell them, he says, can I not do with you as the potter does with the clay, that when he puts him on the wheel, he can shape him and mold him and put him into a formation because his hands were upon him and he was moldable and shapeable? And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to mold us and shape us into his image. And don't ever get caught up in trying to be like somebody else. Our world is big on that. I want to be like Mike, or I want to be like so-so. I want to be like, no, just be yourself. That is the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Sometimes it's tough just to be you because you don't even like you. So why would anybody else? Let's just be honest, huh? How many of you didn't like yourself when you were growing up? You can be honest. Yeah, we always wanted to be like somebody else. Wanted to be like them or whatever. But you know what? This last week, I've been doing some things, getting ready for Mighty Men's, because Tim wants me to help out with some of the things there. And I was thinking, like, well, they did that, and they did that, so I should learn how to do that. And God was saying, Jeff, I asked you, and I want you to be you. I don't want you to be them. Oh. Oh, wow. Are you sure, God? Because I'm not so sure about myself. But I came to the point where I realized that if that's what you think, God, I don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks. I just do what God asks, and that's all that matters. So we all deal with those things, and so it's really important. Now, we know that we're spiritually righteous when we come to know Jesus Christ, because that's the only way we can get right with him, is through receiving Jesus Christ. That is it. You don't ever have to do anything other than come to Jesus Christ, right? Come to him and receive his forgiveness, and you're in. You're righteous, right? Right. Spiritually, we're righteous. But what about the days that you have left to live after you receive Jesus Christ? What happens between that day you received him and the day you die? That's where the work begins. Let's turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. First John chapter 1, verse 7. John was writing, interesting thing about John. John was writing to establish some basic truths that were distorted by false teaching. He was coming back and he was rewriting, not rewriting, but he was writing things to establish these core basic truths that needed to be established in the believers because they were being duped by some false teaching. So as he was writing these things, he says in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So once I come to know Jesus Christ, I can't live a sinless life because we're not sinless. But when I do create sin in my life, I can go to him and I can say, "Lord, forgive me." And guess what? The blood of Jesus covers my sin from here forever because God will never bring it up again. Isn't that good news? Why? Because it's under the blood. It's under the blood that Jesus shed. And when I come and ask him to forgive me and to purify, it washes and cleanses me, and it's under the blood. And we have fellowship with one another because of this. And it says, "And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Isn't that wonderful? God's promise is he's going to be able to purify us. That's a process. He purifies me. It's a daily process that purifies me. And the longer I walk with him, the more fellowship I have with him, the more I get pure. Because if you're instantly pure for eternity, you'd never have to go back and ask for forgiveness. But you and I know us all too well, don't we? We all have struggles in certain areas that when we do sin, we can go to him and we can ask him to forgive us. And when he forgives us, it's under the blood and it's forgotten for eternity, never to be brought up again. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. The blood covers our sin. Now we're going to get into some things that will help us to stay away from sin. Brendan, I thought you did a great job explaining some things already this morning. It goes right in line with what I'm going to preach, so thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, we know it as the love chapter for marriage. Many times this is read for marriage, but I want to encourage you, it's not just for marriage, it's for everyday living as well. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." Washing with water through the word. So what happens? Now that I'm made righteous with God, I am righteous in my spirit. Now as I go to God and read his word, what's going to take place? I'm going to take the truths off the pages and I'm going to take them into my life, and it's going to begin to wash me and cleanse me. It's going to purify me. Why? Because God's truth has the potential to rebuke, train, encourage, build, and righteousness. I think I got a couple of those wrong, but it's 2 Timothy 3:16, right? Now somebody can look that up for me. But the Word of God has that ability to come in and purify me. Now, why should the husband do that? Because it's an exact representation of what Jesus does. He's the husband. We're the bride. He created the Word of God to come in and cleanse me. When a husband leads his family in spiritual work, guess what? Because he's following the master plan of what God established, he will now begin to watch that manifest through his wife and his children. We have to learn how to do that, guys. In fact, I would encourage you, if you don't already, take 5 minutes a day and pray with your wife. 5 minutes. Shut your TV off for 5 minutes. Shut your radio off, put your paper down, put your magazine down, put whatever, your iPad, your iPod, your notebook, your whatever you got that's taken up a lot of your time. Take 5 minutes. And just get into the Word, just a couple verses, just a little bit. Just read and then pray with her. And watch what God does. Watch what God does. And don't do it, say, "Well, you have to do this because Pastor Jeff said you're supposed to." No. No. You just lead and you do it. and watch what God does. I encourage you to do that, okay? But he makes her holy, verse 26, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Wow, how does all that happen? It comes by in taking in of the word of God, and that when the word of God comes into me, it begins to bear witness with my spirit. Now my flesh is going to buck it. My flesh is going to fight it. I don't have time. I am so busy. I've got so much to do. You know, I'll read later. I'll just do whatever. You know, we got so many excuses why we don't, when we've got all the time in the world. If we just narrowed things down a little bit and really asked God, what's really important for my life, Lord? Let's go back to this. What did you create me to do, Lord? Because how many of you are so busy? I've been guilty as well. I've been so guilty of being so busy doing so many good things that I didn't have time to read. That's easy. If you want to, there's volunteer work. There's all kinds of things you could do. You could be so busy that you neglect the Word of God, which purifies you in your physical work, so that what comes out of you is really a representation of the work of the Spirit rather than a work of your flesh and my flesh. God loves to purify me. You know, when the Bible talks about fire and heating the sacrifices and burning and all the things that happens in the Old Testament, where that's a sweet-smelling sacrifice when they offer the right sacrifice. Remember Cain and Abel? How long did Cain love his brother? As long as he was able? Yeah, just kidding. Yeah. But the reality is, one sacrifice was okay and one sacrifice wasn't. We should get a clue that God doesn't always accept everything we offer him. Why? Because it's not in agreement with what he wrote. And when you and I offer God things that he really didn't need, what a waste of time. What a waste of energy. And that's why I think when you get to heaven or hell, the Bible says in hell there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I think that's what it's going to mean, is like, what? You mean I went to church every week and it didn't do me any good? They're going to be weeping and gnashing with their teeth. Why? Because they didn't hear that there were certain things that are acceptable, there are certain things that are not. And I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in doing this just to do this. I'm interested in doing this because God's got a plan. And I long and desire so much for God's plan to manifest here, that what manifests here represents him in such a way that when he looks down at New Life and he sees you and I, he goes, that's my children. That's my children. Why? Because we're totally surrendered. This is not my work. This is not your work. This is a work that we get to do because God designed for kingdom of God to come down from heaven and manifest here on this earth, and we get to be a part of it. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we get to be a part of it. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, would you? Hebrews chapter 10. Can I get one of my guys to get me a glass of water, please? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Let's begin reading. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Thank you. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning, and after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him and who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Did the world come to know Jesus Christ and then trample him? No, because they never knew him. Let that sink in just a minute. The world doesn't know God. Therefore, they aren't trampling God underfoot because they knew the truth. Believers who have known the truth and then have trampled underfoot everything that God did by doing everything they know they shouldn't. They're trampling underfoot everything that God did. And guess what? He says, that's a dangerous place for you to be. That's a dangerous place for me to be. How many preachers have started out preaching the Word of God, all of a sudden because of circumstances have turned their back on God and began to do exactly the opposite of what they preached, and therefore they're trampling underfoot what God had set them free from, and they begin to embrace things that God set them free from. And what is actually happening is this verse right here. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. You see, this morning, we're all held guilty today if we keep on going down the road we know we're not supposed to. Why? Because we've heard the truth. Not my words, his. His words. Don't worry about what I say. If you don't like me, that's fine and dandy, but you better get into this, and you better find out what it says in here. Why? Because if you don't, you'll be one of those that God will avenge and bring judgment to, because it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Of those that have trampled underfoot the Son of God and has treated an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about people that knew God and were falling away. We don't want to be a part of that. Please, I beg you, do not let any circumstance ever take you away from serving God. Please linger in there. Hang in there. Just Jesus hung in there for you. Now you hang in there for him. And he says, "For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands. God did not sanctify me as a 14-year-old kid. When I was 14 years old, I went to the altar and repented of my sins and became a believer. And God did not provide that salvation for me to go off and do whatever I want, when I want, how I want, with whoever I want to, because now I've got Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can go do whatever I want. That verse right there tells you, you better not. Because if you go back into the things that God set you free from and you begin to trample underfoot everything that Jesus set you free from, guess what? There's not much sacrifice for sin left. There's not much work. Why? Because Jesus didn't set me free to go back to my old sinful ways. He set me free to live a life that pleases and honors him and glorifies him. And I have crucified my flesh just like his flesh was crucified. And now because I'm crucified, I no longer live, but he lives in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. That's what I want to protect. That's what I want to enjoy. That's what I want to see take place. Why? Because God loves to wash me and he loves to sanctify me. He loves to stir in me and work out of me all those impurities so I become sanctified in my flesh as well as sanctified in my spirit man. And I'll promise you that when you sanctify your flesh, people will notice. It'll be obvious because your whole life will bring an aura or a smell to it that people will say, they're kind of different. They don't do what they used to do anymore. I wonder why. They used to do this, or they used to do that, or they used to cheat on their taxes, or they used to do this or that. I got to throw something else in other than drinking, smoking, and chewing, because that's been picked on for years. So there's a work that needs to be done. And the key to it is the Word of God. The Word of God sanctifies me. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm just about done. I've got one more after this and then I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 2, or excuse me, what did I say, Hebrews? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, sorry about that. Beginning with verse 13. Watch the progression in this verses. Watch this take place. This is cool. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, but we ought always to thank God for you. Paul was writing to the Thessalonica church. Remember, the Thessalonica church was a great church. For you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved. Can I ask you a question? Does God pick and choose who gets saved? No. Contrary to popular belief, God does not pick and choose who gets saved. But God does know how you and I are going to live our life, and he knows the end of what you and I will decide. So therefore, God has came to save everybody, but he didn't come to only save certain people. He came to bring salvation to all mankind, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. He came to bring salvation to everybody. Continuing on, the next verse, 14. Let's finish 13. From the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Two ways. We're sanctified in spirit, and we're sanctified through belief in the truth. We're sanctified by those two ways. Number one, we're sanctified because we receive Jesus Christ, we become spiritually awake, and then because of our belief in the truth, we're sanctified. This process continues, okay? Watch this now. Verse 14, he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. So not only did I get saved, and now I begin to be sanctified because of his belief in the truth. Now when I'm believed in the truth, I become sanctified as I walk through this, as I come, as I believe. I'm being sanctified. Why? Because I'm reading the truth. I'm getting the truth in me. As I walk, the truth comes alive. It's like, oh, there's an opportunity to minister just like Jesus. There's somebody I can pray for right there. All of a sudden you begin to, there's somebody I can forgive. I don't even have to like them. I can still forgive them. You see, you begin to watch this all come out of you. Why? Because of the truth of God's word. Jesus loved everybody. He didn't care what you and I did, and he loved us the same. Now watch. Stand firm and hold to the teachings passed on to you. In other words, don't let them out of your sight. Verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good what? Deed and word. What? You mean I got to do something with this? Yeah. Now that you know, when you walk out these doors today, opportunity arises for you to put it into action. Because you know it. And now you've got to get it in you to where it becomes something in you so much that you live it out. Last one, Titus, just over to your right, just a few pages. Titus chapter 2. The other day I saw a lady, she injured her hand. You know what the first thing she did? She went over to the sink and began to run water on it. Why? The water purifies, washes clean. How many of you took a shower this morning? Don't raise your hand. The water washes clean. The water represents God's word. God's word is a living water, water that'll never run dry. It'll always be able to produce what it needs to be. But it's a water that never runs dry. When we get injured and we go and begin to wash our hand, or whatever it is that's injured, begins to wash out some of the impurities. And the water has the ability to cleanse and purify. It's just amazing to watch just the natural things manifest like the spiritual things. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Talking about Jesus Christ in verse 13, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You see, when we're not pure with the Lord, we're not eager to follow him. You know why? Because we don't think we're worthy. In fact, we know we're not because we know who we are. And many times, the only time that we actually somewhat kind of walk worthy is when we come to church. Because we don't want anybody to know what's been going on in our life. And I've played that game before. I know what that's like too. We come here and maybe even have a tear. But the reality is that God wants to work inside of me so much that I become purified because of the relationship, because he's the water that flushes my life and begins to wash out all the impurities. And when he begins to pour out impurities, it's not that much fun. There's some things that are just not that easy and not that enjoyable, but the reality is that he did come to wash us and to cleanse us from all wickedness and purify us for himself, a people that are his very own. You ever remember Bugs Bunny and that big guy that called him George? And he says, I love George. And I will call him George and he will be my very own. And I just think of that one. Some of you are too young probably to remember that, but oh man, I love that. I'm glad God doesn't do that. That's what he did, but anyway. Oh yeah, he wants him to be his very own. You know what? God isn't interested in you having an adulterous affair on him. He's not interested in you loving the world more than you love him. And so this morning, God wants us to be someone that he can call his very own. Who is that? One that he's able to come in and wash, purify, and set apart as holy, set apart, made for his purpose. And when you and I do that, I promise you, you will enjoy the work that he does. You'll enjoy it, won't you, Aaron? Won't you, T? Yeah. Won't you, Brendan? Won't you, Carolyn? You'll enjoy it. Now, it's not always going to be easy. But the reality is you'll enjoy it. And I pray that you and I continue to desire to allow him to wash us and to sanctify us. Sanctify, set apart, made for a specific purpose, made for a reason that I can fulfill in this life, that when this life is done, whoo, Woo-wee. He's excited because we're coming to see him. He's been waiting for us, a people that is very own. Would you stand and pray with me as we close this morning? Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. I thank you for the ability of your word to change us. And Lord, I ask this morning that as we desire to be changed by your word, that we'll begin to allow it to wash us, get inside of us, that we'll read it and we'll partake of it and we'll get it in us so that it changes who we are. It changes what we were created for. Changes for the reason of what you desire. And so, Lord, I ask this morning for myself and for this congregation that you would just have freedom this morning to do in us what you desire. Lord, we'll be one of those people that you're eagerly waiting for, to call your own, to be the ones that will say yes, Lord, whenever you speak. Whenever you want us to do something, we say yes rather than complain. Whenever you want us to pray, Lord, whether day or night, we won't say, oh, Lord, not now. But we'll say, Lord, it's a pleasure, it's an honor, I'd love to. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us was really look at your word this morning and realize you're looking for a people that are not like the world. Lord, I pray that we'll continue to be purified in our natural self so that we don't even have remnants of being in the world or looking like the world, but we have remnants of being with Jesus. We have remnants of being with you. So Holy Spirit, this morning, we just invite you into this place as you've already been welcomed. Come with your Holy Spirit and your fire. Come and purge and work in and amongst us as you desire. For Lord, we do want to be pleasing to you. We do want to be honoring to you. That's our ultimate goal. Do everything you ask, just like you did with Jesus. He did everything his Father asked him. He never denied him once. And Lord, I pray that we get to that point in our life where we don't say no to you, but we say no to the world. We say no to our flesh. We say no to the desires. Lord, I pray that continues today. I know that we've done that some already, but Lord, I pray that we do it more. So this morning, I'm just going to let you close at your time. Altar's open if you'd like to pray, if you want to stay in your seat and pray, it doesn't matter where you pray. But would you give God just a moment of your time and say, Lord, I'm ready to be exactly what you want me to be. I'm ready to say what you want me to say. I'm ready to do what you want me to do, and I can't wait to read your word. I can't wait to get in time with you. I can't wait to spend time with you, Lord, so I know your voice and know what you're saying, because that's what it's going to take. So let's all of us this morning set our excuses to the side. And let's let God have his way in us. And when you're done this morning, you can be dismissed. There's coffee and fellowship as always, and you're free to spend time visiting with one another. It might be exactly why you were here today, is to visit with a certain person. Don't miss it. Hear his voice and be there to do exactly what he's asking. Don't be in such a hurry to do your thing today that God's thing gets put to the side. And Lord, we'll be thankful and honoring you, and we'll be pleasing you when we do these things, we know. So Lord, what a privilege it is. I'm just so thankful we get to do this. Lord, I thank you for the freedom of this country to do this. What a privilege it is. So Lord, we just bless you and honor you, and go with us as we spend time with you, not only today, but in the days to come. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. As you're free to go, as you desire, and thank you for coming. Thank you for being patient with us in the Word of God. And well.